Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them as their God, and they will be God's people. And God, God's self, will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this, for these words are true and trustworthy.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning, Covenant Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto. It is such a joy to be with you all. I've heard such wonderful things about your church from my work with Lausanne, and I am so grateful that you have been part of the community that has held her and shaped her as the remarkable human being that she is, and the blessing that she has been to me and to the ministry that we do. And before we get too far into worship this morning, we've mentioned I'm kind of young blood, and so I'm wondering if you'll do a bit of an experiment with me, a meditation. Don't worry. I want you all, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to imagine the last place you felt at home. Maybe it's the home you live in now. Maybe it's this very church, or your study, a particular park. Wherever it is, I want you to take it in. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? How does it feel in your body to be here? Are your shoulders relaxed? Are your breaths deep? Okay, now, and when you're ready, I want you to think about a time when you didn't feel at home, when you felt restless or uncomfortable, out of place, like you didn't belong. What does that feel like? Are you jittery, or is there a sinking dread in your stomach, a tightening of muscles? Now that I've made you feel uncomfortable, you can open your eyes. Take a deep breath. You are safe here. But I want to talk to you all today about that concept of not feeling at home. Because not only is it a great theme for this very first Sunday of Lent, but it's also one of the theological underpinnings of the ministry down in Watsonville, which I am so excited to share with you. But as I do so, I want you to remember what those two experiences felt like today. I want you to embody what we're talking about, not just intellectualize it, as we so often do. And so I'll ask you, if you will, to do this with me as we go on a fairly ambitious project today, an adventure, a Lenten time adventure. I'd like to talk about the feeling of not being at home and that feeling of exile in two ways. First, I want to locate it in the biblical narrative, the story of everything. For this, we'll enlist our scriptures from the first and last books of the Bible, and we'll try to answer and ponder questions like, why don't we feel at home? What is our Christian call in the midst of that feeling? And then, once we've done all this big, universalizing narrative work, once we've told the story of everything, we'll scale it down to a particular context and I'll tell you a little bit about Watsonville. So we go. The first, the story of everything. Our first scripture brings us right to the beginning, but not the very beginning. In the beginning, if you'll recall, God created the heavens and the earth, humans and creature, and called it good. We humans were placed in a garden, our home, a place where God and we could dwell together, and everything was perfect. Right? Not exactly. We were humans, after all, and we do what humans do. We long for things. We want, and we want too much. So we did the one forbidden thing, and we were exiled from the garden, compelled not to live in our perfect home, but to wander east of Eden, my very favorite Steinbeck book. Now, Miroslav Volf, a professor of mine at Yale and a writer of many good books, believes, as so many theologians do, that this story was not written literally. It was written to explain and give words to the feeling that we all have, a feeling of exile, of things just not being right. He writes, as you'll find on the front of your bulletin, "No keen observation is required to see that something's amiss in the world. More than something, many things. That much is obvious. So obvious, in fact, that it's all too easy to find oneself thinking that things are especially uniquely awry, that they've never been worse. In an important sense, everything is awry and has been awry. There is an abiding out of jointness of things witnessed, but not exhausted by the disquietude of human hearts. Beneath or alongside, or mingled with the disquietude, perhaps you have felt an amorphous but insistent longing, a longing for home. In other words, as long as humans have been humans, we have felt like things are just messed up, like we're wandering around, like we're exiled. Now, reading the Bible, this theme of exile is everywhere, and particularly right now as we enter into the season of Lent. We see Israelites wandering far from home for 40 years. Prophets feeling far from home even as they're in their native land. People longing for a world where justice reigns because God lives in intimate relationship with humanity. And as Christians, we locate the climax of this narrative in the incarnation of Christ. Whereas the Gospel of John writes, the Word becomes flesh and dwells within us. Christ feels our suffering. He feels our exile, embodies and empathizes with it for 40 days in the wilderness. But Christ doesn't leave us feeling that discomfort. He gives us a way to walk home. You see, the hope of Christ's incarnation is to make this earth, imperfect and broken as it is, a welcoming home, not just for each other, but in fact for God, God's self, to dwell with us. A place where, as the book of Revelation prophesies, God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death and mourning and crying and pain will be no more, because the home of God will be among us mortals. In other words, we won't feel so alone or broken. We'll feel the full presence of God among us, like we did when we closed our eyes and imagined home only greater. In other words, according to these theologians, the goal of Christian life is not serving God so that we can go to heaven. The meaning of life is serving God so that heaven can come to us. Here, where we are at in the thick of all the brokenness and messiness, the human wanting and wandering amidst the disease and death, war and poverty, depression and darkness, all the things that make us know that something is amiss, like God is far. Here, we are called to bring the New Jerusalem here to California. And that is how we locate our place in the story of everything. And that is exactly the theological impulse that is behind our ministry in Watsonville that your elder Lizanne has worked so hard for and which brought me to this presbytery that I now get to call home. We've called it SOMOS, which means we are, for the idea que somos la iglesia. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo, somos hechos en la imagen de Dios. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are made in the image of God. And so we are sacred, not just on Sunday morning, and not just when we're in a building with a cross in it, but always. And what we're hoping to do with this theology is answer a question that I know is burning on many people's hearts in this church and in this presbytery, and which I hope we can ponder in this season of Lent. What is the future of the church? How do we do church in this day and age, in this economy, in this time, with people who are different than us? See, when I moved to Watsonville, three things became immediately clear. One, Watsonville is a town so deeply in need of God's love. The poverty statistics don't do justice to the number of people who, despite working incredibly hard, don't have enough to eat. Low graduation rates don't do justice to the lack of literacy in the community. And crime rates don't do justice to the feeling of insecurity that so many people live with. Second, Watsonville is filled with people for whom the feeling of exile is not abstract, but literal. Upwards of 85% of the community identifies as Latino. Many are first-generation immigrants, people who literally left behind their homes, their families, their cultures, their languages, everything they considered home for hope of a better life. And many are second or third generation, people who are considered ni de aquí, ni de allá, neither from here nor there. Young people who often live their lives translating between the homes of their parents and the homes that they were born into. Maybe some of you can relate to the feeling of not knowing where you belong. And third, if we were seeking to meet the unmet needs of this community, then a traditional church model wasn't going to work. You see, there are already quite a lot of traditional churches in Watsonville, and as a result, there are a lot of preconceived notions about what church means, and very few of those notions tell people that they are loved and holy and sacred, whoever they are, whoever they are becoming, however they see themselves, and wherever they are on their spiritual journey. Words that you all have on your bulletin, and which I love. And so the question became not only how can we tell people these truths, but how can we show them? After all, St. Francis of Assisi is supposed to have said, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. I don't think it's all that necessary there. So after a lot of conversations, a lot of praying, a whole lot of work on behalf of the Watsonville Administrative Commission, Somos was born, a nonprofit bilingual cafe and community space where young people can gather, build meaningful relationships, participate in community-led events, maybe even study, who knows? And located in a building right next to the high school and community college, we hope to establish a sanctuary in the true meaning of the world, where people feel empowered to explore and experience emotional, psychological, and spiritual wholeness. All of this to make people feel at home, to help them find their particular role in the story of everything. Very recently, we celebrated our first year anniversary, and it's been really heartbreaking and inspiring to see just how much people have needed something like this space. And so I want to tell just three brief stories, introduce you to three anonymized people who have come through the doors of this chapel-turned-cafe so that you have an idea of the beautiful depth of humanity that is dwelling in this space. Now, I wish you could meet so many other members of this community, young people who walk in and start playing Bohemian Rhapsody on the piano until the whole room breaks out into what I am certain is worship. Unhoused neighbors who look amazed when I tell them they're welcome to sit down and have a cup of coffee like everyone else. And so many people who share stories of border crossings and who seem to punctuate their sentences with Dios es bueno, God is good, even through unimaginable grief. They're just a few of the people who have made that place more of a home, not just for themselves, but for me and ultimately for God. And by gathering together, by talking about nothing and everything, we are doing something so holy. And I know you all know that too, because it is exactly what you do each Sunday when you gather here. You're taking the sting out of the exile east of Eden. You're going to some place you might want to close your eyes and imagine, where the rest of the world falls away, some place that feels like home. And in doing so, you are bearing witness to the fact that creation is good, that life is worth living. By being together, we are doing the work of making all things new, ushering forth the day when God might come and dwell among us, bringing to fruition the Christian hope that there will be no more tears, no more violence, no more pain. Perhaps not universally, but particularly here where we are planted. And so as we wander through this Lenten season and whatever you are carrying with you during this, remember that you are not alone, for the feeling that something is amiss and awry, and that wherever you are making a home for yourselves, for others, and yes, for the foreigner, you are doing holy work. So wander on. Amen.